Whether we sing it in English or in Swahili, God is good all the time. And we thank all God's children for singing on Gianna's baptismal day today, bringing us that great message of God's goodness, God's love, God's joy into our lives. Gianna, I saw you dancing through that whole thing. And that's good, good way, dancing on your baptismal day. That's awesome. The story is told about a horse and a donkey. It comes from a rural area in which, as the story is told, the farmer had loaded all of the burdens, all of the load onto the donkey, even though the donkey was older and weaker than the younger, stronger, taller horse. It was the donkey that was carrying the big burden. Partway on the journey in which the farmer was taking his load, the donkey looked up at the horse, and I suppose using donkey language, he probably brayed his message to the horse, said, "Look, I don't think I'm going to make it. If you can take part of my load, perhaps I'll be able to make it the whole way. But if you don't, I don't think I'll be able to make it." The horse looked down at the donkey disdainfully, thinking that he, a horse, should bother himself with carrying the load of the farmer. And so he just told the donkey, I suppose he whinnied as he said his message, "Buck up, little donkey. Don't bother me with such trivial stuff." Well, the horse and the donkey proceeded for a while longer, and finally the donkey gave in to the burden. The donkey could no longer make it, and in his weakness and his frailty, the donkey eventually crumpled, fell, and died. Well, the farmer, wanted to make sure he got his load back to the farm place, and so he loaded everything from the donkey onto the horse, including the donkey, because the hide of the donkey was so valuable to the farmer. As the horse carried on, he couldn't help but think to himself, "Oh, what a horrible mistake I have made. If only I had shared even a portion of the burden, perhaps I wouldn't be in this plight." Today we are going to be taking a look at new beginnings. And lots of times, as we take a look at new beginnings, we become aware that many times God brings newness out of moments of crises. Today, as we take a look at new beginnings, we're going to take a look at some stories from the church and some stories from our own real life situations in which God took burdens in moments of crises and brought forth a new beginning. So before we take that journey, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, help us to be aware, not only of our own burdens, of which we are probably very keenly aware, but help us to be aware of the burdens of others and how it is that you might be calling us to respond. Lord, this day, help us to see burdens and crises, moments, as opportunities for new beginnings, because the Bible over and over and over again talks about real life situations in which moments of crises and burden bearing brought forth new beginnings. These things we pray in your most holy and precious name. Amen. So as we go on this journey together today, I need to let you know that we're going to show a video partway through. The video, I'm just going to give you a little viewer discretion moment. Most of you are going to be able to handle it, but maybe some of the little ones, the language is appropriate. The images are not that offensive, but there's a couple of subscripts in the very, very beginning. They're probably so small you can't really even see them, but if you've got little ones who can read really well at a young age, they might find it a little bit troubling. So I just want to give you that heads up. You can make your own decision if you need to take a little break for a few moments during the beginning of the video or not. It's up to you. It brings forth to our attention an important issue for us as God's people. So that being said, just a little heads up on that. You can make your own decision. That being said, today is All Saints Sunday. And All Saints Sunday, according to Martin Luther, based on a biblical description, a saint, different from the way in which Martin Luther's church was looking at it, those were special people set aside. But in Martin Luther's understanding from the Bible, a saint is a forgiven sinner. So just so that I know my audience, do we have any forgiven sinners here today? A few of you. I know some of you, knowing me, are thinking this is a trick to get me into confession. I get that. And maybe we should just take the last part of that first and just ask the question, how many sinners do we have here today? Oh, wow, not too much hesitation. You're in the right spot. You're with friends. You're with family here. That's good. I thought I might have to prime the pump a little bit by admitting to you that that I'm one too. And I know that's a little bit, I don't want to burst any bubbles. I know it's hard for you to believe. And when Martin Luther talked about that, you know, he was talking about, you know, all the greats. I mean, when he talked about all have sinned from Romans chapter 3, he was referring to Paul, the author of that, saying the Apostle Paul had moments in his life where he didn't do what he was supposed to do and he did the things he knew he shouldn't. He was referring to people like Peter, who, remember, he denied Jesus at one moment in time. He was referring even to people as we cast forward and we think about this. He was referring in the future to people even like Mother Teresa and Billy Graham and that, because all of us have sinned. Now, I know you probably think, sure, we get it with Martin Luther. He said some crusty things that even though he didn't retract what he said about the Word of God, sometimes he had to retract some of his statements because he went a little overboard. So we know he was in need of forgiveness. We get it with the Apostle Paul because he even admitted he needed God's forgiveness. And we get it with Peter because we saw what he did with Jesus in the courtyard. We get it with Mother Teresa because of her memoirs. She talked about her own sinful nature. And we get it with Billy Graham because he's just as I am, you know, popularity, and so it was all about his own sinfulness. But I know what you're thinking. We get it with all them, but Pastor Gary, seriously? I didn't see it coming either. I really didn't. It snuck up on me, but yeah, it's true. I am. So if that bursts some bubbles, I want to apologize right away. That's another viewer discretion thing I should have probably warned you about. But anyway, it's true. As saints, on All Saints Sunday, we celebrate the fact that we are forgiven sinners. And because God chooses to forgive us when we confess our sins, God creates opportunities for us of new beginnings. See, that's what John the Baptist was talking about. When he talked about all the people who needed to come and repent, John the Baptist preached a baptism of repentance. That was the purpose of Jesus. He came because we were in need of forgiveness. We were in need, spiritually speaking, of a new beginning. The book of Acts is filled with new beginning stories. Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, is the new beginning of the church. And if you read that incredible, powerful story about the beginning, the new beginning of the church, it talks about all the people that were baptized, like Gianna. It talks about all the people who recognized their need for forgiveness and recognized their need for a Savior, and they were ushered into the church, and some 3,000 joined the church on that particular Pentecost day. It was a new beginning, and God wants us to know that each and every day is a time of new beginning. In fact, Martin Luther once said, every Sunday is a little Easter. In other words, we are to celebrate every Sunday, and in fact, every day is a day when God makes us new. God creates new possibilities, new beginnings. Such was the case of Saul. Saul talked about in the Bible, book of Acts. Acts is a powerful story about new beginnings. Now, Saul isn't a very common name, but then who am I to talk? How many parents name their kids Gary anymore either? You know, so anyway, Saul's name got changed to Paul. Maybe it's because it wasn't that common, but maybe, well, there's really a great story behind it. See, Saul, who had been persecuting Christians, in fact, in Acts chapter 8, Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the ninth chapter of Acts, it talks about this incredible experience that Saul had. Saul, who was persecuting Christians. Saul, who was present, as you read Acts chapter 7, at the stoning, the execution of Stephen. Because why? Because Stephen was a Christian proclaiming God's truths. And Saul saw him in opposition to the church of his day. And so Saul, on his way to Damascus, is suddenly confronted by a bright light, so bright it knocks him off his ride, and he is blinded by the light, and God speaks to him. God says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting my followers?" And through this incredible moment of crisis, God changes the heart of Saul. And his name becomes Paul, the great missionary, who, filled with zeal and filled with a desire to receive God's forgiveness for all the horrible things he had done, receives God's forgiveness. And as a forgiven sinner, Paul, by God's grace, becomes an amazing missionary. So in the story, in the life of Paul, in the story in the life of Stephen, in the story in the life of Peter, in the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, we see moments of crises which bring about new beginnings. And as I think about these moments of crises, I've been grappling with a dilemma. And I wonder if maybe you can help me a little bit. You see, as I read the Bible, and I take it seriously, I'm sure you do too. After all, it's the Word of God, and why wouldn't we take the Word of God seriously? We do, right? And if we take the Bible seriously, do we not try to live what the Bible says? I know that's a work in progress for me and maybe for you. But as I read the Bible, I read about times of crises and times of new beginnings, and it makes me aware. The Bible is holy not only because it is God's word, but also because it is God's word for all time and for all people. And so God's word not only addresses the issues of Paul and Peter and all the rest, the great saints from the past, God's word addresses the people of our present as well. And so we've got this crisis in our world today that I've been grappling with. Now, I don't want to get political, because a lot of people have gone political with this crisis. I don't want to go there. I don't want to get off on a tangent. I don't want to get on a soapbox. I don't want to do anything like that. I just want to know for sure, and maybe you can help me. I just want to know for sure how a Christian should respond to this particular crisis in our world today. And the particular crisis that I'm referring to, the particular perplexing problem that I'm thinking about, is this whole refugee thing. Maybe it's helpful if we take a look together at this video. And remember the viewer discretion thing. There's just a couple of lines that might be a little bit delicate for the little ones among us. And setting politics aside, I really don't want to go there. Setting politics aside, but just looking at this from how might a Christian respond to this dilemma, would you watch this video with me, and then maybe we'll chat just a little bit about it.
Ανάβηρον βάκαρον, τσοκώθηκε λάθη μπάρμα σάρ γιβού. Ενή νόση μόνα αμνώστηκαν ρντ νόση εμάνα. Αμνώστηκαν γι ζόρι χω, τσοκ σάρ γιβού νέτσο, νόση ζόρι χω αμπίσε ρίκερ να χαμίζω. Ε, μερί το ρεύρου βάκαρε, μισταχίνα μερί βάκαρε.
Today, 60 million refugees, asylum seekers, and internally displaced. Almost double the number 10 years ago. It's a rising tide spilling across borders.
هي ميتين دول عربيه
15 conflicts, either new or burning again, in the last 5 years. 42,500 people displaced each day, every day. Mega conflicts in Syria and Iraq have displaced 15 million people. Conflict pushing refugees and migrants into flight. Protracted exile, lives of extreme poverty, hopelessness driving thousands to risk their lives. Mediterranean deaths in 2015, almost 3,000 and climbing. The wave is now global.
البلد اللي الله بيسر لي اياه ان شاء الله امان يا رب ونبدا ان شاء الله حياه جديده باذن الله.
The desperate drive to find safety has overwhelmed some countries, stretched the resources of others, but also awakened generosity. Across the globe, countries that have taken in so many need much more help now. Another pressing need to protect people against populist racism and xenophobia. But most of all, these people need more hope. UNHCR was born of the search for new values in the wake of a global war, its principles enshrined in the 1951 Convention. Those pillars must now be safeguarded and strengthened.
Once upon a time, there was this true story told about in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, in an even larger book called the Bible, about a very little boy by the name of Jesus. Now, there was an evil king in the land at that time, and Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, had to flee for their lives. Today, we would probably call them refugees. Anyway, they fled for their lives to a country called Egypt, where God provided some people who would take them in and provide for their needs until the evil King Herod had died, and it was safe for them to once again return to a town in their native land called Nazareth. Once upon a time, there was a little boy named N and a little girl called Lemmy. They were born in a country called Estonia, between Germany and Russia. There was an evil ruler at that time that they were children, an evil ruler by the name of Hitler. And there was a war to confront that evil, a war known as World War II. And they had to flee for their lives. N was only 9 years old at the time, and Lemmy was only 3 years old. They were from two different families living in the land of Estonia. Their families, both from different towns, both fled, one by boat and the other by train, and then ship, and then train again, until they safely reached places known as displaced people's camps. Today we call them refugee camps. For both families, like thousands of others, were refugees. And each family lived in separate camps for the next 5 years, until it was safe for each family to travel to the United States, aided by Lutheran World Relief, and resettled by Lutherans in America, a Lutheran church in Iowa sponsoring Lemmy's family, and a Lutheran church in North Carolina sponsoring N's family. To make a really long story short, God eventually brought N and Lemmy together through the Estonian Lutheran Church in America. And job opportunity brought them to a town called Naperville, Illinois, where they were invited way back in 1978 to become part of a fledgling little congregation known as Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, being established in the northern part of Naperville. They became charter members of that church, have sung faithfully in the church choir, served on church council, assisted with church finances, served as the Good Shepherd historian, been faithful in worship and Bible studies, and by the grace of God, have been a vital part of the leadership of Good Shepherd all these many years. These little refugee kids became leaders whom God used to bless our church, Good Shepherd, where Ann and Lemmy's family, their children and their grandchildren have been baptized and confirmed and even married. Once upon a time, there was a little baby named Sylvia. She was born in a refugee camp. Her father from Latvia had been a prisoner of war. Her mother had escaped to the West when she was only 17 years old, fearful for her life. They met together in a displaced persons camp, and they were married, and little Sylvia was born. Little Sylvia and her family were there for quite a length of time until it was safe for them to come to America, where they were sponsored by a church, a Lutheran church in North Carolina. Sylvia Perembra's son, Steve, plays in our worship band. Their family has been very active here at Good Shepherd, as has the Tamaru family, Ann and Lemmy's family. And Sylvia is now one of our main leaders with missions and with our prayer team. Her son was married not long ago, and that's their wedding picture. Sylvia is third one from the right as you look at the family. Sylvia's family and Ann's family, they found out later, while Sylvia and Ann were singing in the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church choir, discovered that it was the same Lutheran church in North Carolina that had sponsored each family. They did not know each other at the time. They discovered that fact 50 years afterwards. Once upon a time, there was a little child by the name of Chia. He was born in Vietnam during a time of crises in that country. At age 4, he and his family escaped. They became boat people, 3 million boat people, many of whom never survived the South China Sea. But En's family, or rather Chia's family, did. Chia was sponsored, his family was sponsored by a Lutheran church in Arlington Heights, Illinois. It was there that he was sponsored, and their family grew to learn a little bit more about the Lutheran church, these people who had cared for them and loved them, even though they were not Lutherans. They were not even Christians at the time. But they were cared for, and later, Chia met his soon-to-be wife, Rachel, who was a member of Good Shepherd, and they were married here, and their three children have been baptized here, and they've been great leaders here at Good Shepherd. So now I'm still grappling with this dilemma, this Christian crisis. Remember, I don't want to talk politics. I really don't. How should I respond? What advice might you give me on how I, maybe we, should respond to this refugee thing? This coming Wednesday night, we're going to have a Refugee Awareness Night here at Good Shepherd. Our goal is not to have marching orders and give you tasks on what you can do. that's not the purpose of Wednesday night. Wednesday night at the refugee awareness event here at Good Shepherd, 7 o'clock in the sanctuary, is simply to make us more aware. What, by way of conversation, might we consider and become aware of as we formulate a Christian response? As we meet for this refugee awareness night, I'm aware of these wonderful boxes, Operation Christmas Child boxes, that so many of you have lovingly packed for children that will otherwise not get a Christmas present this year. Some of these boxes will end up in the hands of refugee children. Thank you for that response, that way of caring and loving. I wonder what other ways God might be inviting us. Those boxes, by the way, are due back this Friday in order to get them to the places they need to go. What other response might we have? As I've been pondering what I might do by way of response, I read that passage from Matthew 25. You know the one where Jesus is talking about separating the sheep and the goats? That one where the people said, "When did we take care of you?" And he said, "Every time you cared for the hungry or the thirsty or the stranger or the naked or the prisoner, every time you did that, you cared for me. Welcome into my kingdom." And for those who never did, he had some other words for them. You can read about that in Matthew 25. I wondered about this dilemma as I thought about Sleep Out Saturday last night. Chris, on your birthday eve, you slept outside as a way of identifying with and helping to support the cause of the homeless, refugee, domestic refugees in our communities. And some 25 other Good Shepherd members joined you in the parking lot over in Glen Ellen in order to help support this cause that surrounds us in our communities. I wondered about this when I heard about Richard Stearns, the leader of World Vision. And Pastor Gray heard him in a talk this past week, and he was dealing with the whole refugee thing, and people were asking him really, really hard questions. And so as he sought to address those questions, he said, we don't go to politics with this at World Vision. We just focus on what Christ would have us do. And so to do that, we take a look at the two greats, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. As we take a look at the two greats, we remember the words of Jesus from Deuteronomy that he quoted in Matthew when he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself." When asked who his neighbor was, he told them a story about a good Samaritan, somebody from another land, somebody from another religion, somebody from another place. And he said, "That's our neighbor." As Rich Stearns was asked about this, he said, "And I do also believe not only in the Great Commandment, but the Great Commission, in which Jesus in his last words here on earth said, 'Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have taught you.'" And he said, "Well, what about all the Muslims? They don't believe." And he said, "Let me tell you a story about an experience. We have served and cared for people, politics aside, but only a Christian response. And in my experience, we have served many people of faiths other than Christian. And I have seen over and over again where Muslims and others have come to worship in our Christian churches because they want to know more about this God whose people so lovingly reach out to others who are different from them. New beginnings." So on this All Saints Sunday, when we not only remember the great saints, but also remember that God makes each of us forgiven sinners his saints, that as we think about the great saints before, Peter and Paul and all the others who have faced moments of crises leading to new beginnings, we grapple with crises of our own, like the refugee crises. And we focus on the two greats to lead and guide us to new beginnings. That we, like the saints who have gone before us, might bear one another's burdens, caring for the least of these, celebrating new beginnings. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, the church has always addressed moments of crises and conflict. We see that in the life of the Apostle Paul, in the life of Peter, in the life of all who have gone before us, saints who are forgiven sinners like us. Help us, politics aside, to simply look at how you would have us respond to the least of these. Remembering the words of Matthew 25, remembering the words of the Great Commandment, remembering the words of the Great Commission. Lead us and guide us this day that we might be alert to the new beginnings that you are desiring to bring into our lives and to usher into the lives of others. In your name we pray.